This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We're past now the midpoint of Ramadan, and with every passing day we come to the realization that it is going to end. With every passing day we must also come to the realization that as the days of Ramadan pass, the days of our lives also pass. Every day that passes, that goes away, that slips from us, is like a page of a book that we turn until we reach the end. And when we reach the end, that is the death by which we meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and we meet our reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. The hardship of death brought the truth, brought the haqq. And this is the thing that you're trying to run away from, but you could not run away from. What truth does death bring? The matter of the fact is that as we are living, we're under the illusion that we will live forever, and we collect from this dunya as if we will live forever. We don't really believe that we will die. We have promises from Allah Azza wa Jalla and promises from the shaitan. And we believe mostly the promises of the devil, the shaitan, rather than the promises of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We don't really actually believe that we will die one day. Yes, theoretically we do, but in practice we don't. Until the news of an approaching impending death comes and all of a sudden it shatters the illusion that we have. Oh, this house is not really mine, I'm gonna leave behind. This car is not really mine, this money is not really mine. This clothes are not really mine, this body is not really mine, where will I go now? And you look to the right and you look to the left and there is nothing to hold on to except the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you know that everything that you have will stay behind and only Allah Azza wa Jal lies ahead. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. It says at the end of it, the shaytan, when he talks to people in hellfire, he will say, Allah had made true promises to you, and I made a promise, but I betrayed you. And I had no power over you except that I asked you to do something and you did. So don't blame me. If I simply suggested and you followed my suggestion, don't blame me. I cannot save you and you cannot save me. Look at that ultimate betrayal, where the shaitan, who beautifies everything that we do, to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla and makes all those false promises. On that day he will say, yes, I did make promises, but I betrayed you. Why did you believe me if Allah made different promises to you? When death comes, it shatters, as we said, all realities except the reality of, Ya Allah, give me a little bit more so I can give. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقُ. It says, spend from what we have given you before death approaches you and comes upon you and you say, Ya Allah, delay me. Don't take my soul yet so that I can give sadaqah and be righteous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when your time is up, your time is up. There is no delay. And since we don't know when we are gonna die, we have to rush and do what we can, when we can, before die. The time comes when we cannot. وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. توبة. And what tawbah is? And how much do we need tawbah? A lot of us think to themselves, I'll have tawbah when I'm 60, when I'm 70, when I'm retiring, later, next year, tomorrow. And you keep delaying and procrastinating when it comes to tawbah until death comes. And Allah says, tawbah is not for those who commit sins, up until the moment when they're about to die and they say, I have repented. I am done now with it. No, that's not it. Allah says, وَيَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. He says, they repent and they haste to repentance. Subhanallah, the shaitan convinces us that we're living under that facade or under that illusion that do whatever you want and Allah will forgive it. وَإِنِّي لَغَثَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. Allah says, I will forgive. But who is the one who will be forgiven? The one who simply wishes for forgiveness? Or the one who is what? Tab, he repents. He says, I regret what I've done. I will stop it. I've done something wrong. I am ashamed of it. وَآمَنَ. And they have iman and they push themselves to do good deeds and they follow the righteousness of Allah, the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the one who receives the tawbah. Not the person who says, Allah will forgive me, and then we say, well, what did you do for Allah to forgive you? How did you change for Allah to forgive you? So in this Ramadan, I want to ask us all, what are you worshipping for? We are actually worshipping to save our souls. We're worshipping to save our souls from the love of the dunya, from the love of this world, from the temptations of the shaitan, from the sea of sin that we are drowning in. We have to worship in this Ramadan because our life depends on it. When we make dua, we have to make dua with desperation and we have to feel that desperation. Imagine, subhanAllah, if we were to end up in the grave punished. Imagine if we were to end up in the next life punished, meaning not just simply theory, I'm meaning reality. Do you want this to be the end of your and my life? You live this life, you eat about you want, you drink whatever you want, comfortable life. But when you enter into the grave and Allah asks you and the angels of Allah ask you, you have no response. SubhanAllah, I'm reminded that when a person is in the grave and then he will see an ugly, repulsive, approaching person coming to him in repulsive clothing, in a foul smell, and he comes and sits next to him. And he says, who are you? And he says, I am your evil deeds. وَقَدْ عَهِدْتُكَ بَطِيئًا عِنْدَ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ سَرِيعًا فِي مَعْصِيَتِهِ. He says, I am your evil deeds and I've witnessed you. My experience of you was that you were slow when it came to Allah's obedience, fast when it came to His disobedience. I want to ask you, is this not a summary of our lives? That when Allah wants something from us, we procrastinate and we find excuses and our bodies become heavy and we don't spend any money and we hold back. Yet when it comes to the dunya, the pocketbook opens, the checkbook opens, and we rush and we find energy. Where does this energy come from? It comes from a love for the dunya that values it, but an insufficient love for the akhirah. Because it doesn't make sense for us to love the akhirah more than the dunya but spend less on it. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة. Allah says, why, O you who have iman, when you're asked to set forth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you become lazy and you cling to this earth. Are you satisfied with this life instead of the Akhirah? Indeed, the joy of this life is almost nothing compared to what you will find then. But again, does it not summarize us? The fact that when Allah Azza wa Jal says to us, do something, read the Qur'an. So I don't have time for it. Read the Qur'an, it's so heavy to read the Qur'an. Yet, go on social media, I can spend hours. Why is it when Allah asks you to do something, we become lazy? But when the dunya and the shaitan and the world and our desires, they ask us to do something, we readily respond. So in Ramadan, we have to realize a crisis, and the crisis is the crisis of our souls. You're asking for the most important thing that you can ask for, which is your salvation. Nothing matters compared to it. Not money, not worldly success, not promotions, not bigger houses or smaller houses. Nothing in the dunya compares to it. Because if Allah gives you salvation in Ramadan, then you have won. And if you lose that salvation in Ramadan, I'm asking you, when are you going to have any better time to ask Allah Azza wa Jal? Are we closer throughout the year than we are in Ramadan? Then we have days left of Ramadan. Take advantage of those and push yourself as much as you can and make it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Gather as many good deeds as you can and come close to Allah Azza wa Jalla and know that whatever you give for His sake you will find. And whatever you miss, Allah Azza wa Jalla either can forgive, but He will also may ask you about it. So ask Allah's forgiveness for what we have missed and decide not to go back to it and have a sincere repentance with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person is buried and he's in his grave, the salah occupies a position next to his head, and siyam occupies a position on his right, and zakah occupies a position on his left, and the remainder of righteousness, of sadaqah, amr bil ma'roof, wa nahi anil munkar, occupies a position at his feet. So if the torment of Allah Azza wa Jal would come to him from the top, the salah says, no, I'm occupied. This place is occupied. Go somewhere else. Comes to the right, fasting will say it's occupied. Comes to the left, zakah says occupied. Comes from the feet angle, from the feet's direction, says it's occupied. So he is spared the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal because of these things that he and she is doing. But when the unfortunate is in his grave and there is no salah, punishment comes from the head and from the right and from the left and from the feet. So when we're saying we are really striving for our own salvation, we are really are striving for our own salvation. Take care of your salah now and after Ramadan. And I want you to remember this. أول ما يسأل عنه العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing that Allah will ask you about on the day of judgment is your salah. If it is good, the rest of your deeds are good. If it is not, the rest of the deeds are corrupt. So understand that when you are going to die, don't live based on wishful thinking. When you're going to die, you will be asked about your salah. If you don't have your salah, I want you to ask yourself, what are you bringing to meet Allah Azza wa Jal? What are you coming with if you don't have salah? If you skip it, if you hear the adhan, if you sacrifice one or two or few days of without salah, what are you going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with? So your salah. And take care of your fasting and pay your zakah and do as many good deeds as you can. And the last 10 of Ramadan are approaching. And this is the best of the best of the best. And this is when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam would push himself to the maximum, to what you can do. Not to the breaking point, but to what you can do. So if you have not been, start doing what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you have been fortunate enough to do something, double that, triple that, do more of it, and know that there are very few days, and once they are gone, they are gone. And when the day of Eid comes, you look back at all of this, and you will say, well, did that actually happen? You will not feel the pain, you will not feel the tiredness, but invest for the hereafter. These are the moments, and these are the days, and feel that your soul is at stake. So when you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal, asking like a person who is drowning, that desperate. And when you give sadaqah to save yourself and to save your family. And when you fast, say to yourself, why am I fasting? I'm saving myself from hellfire. That is a ibadah that is worthy of being called a ibadah. You give your zakah and never neglect it. And populate the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember Allah Azza wa Jal often. If you tell me, if I'm not in the mood, I'm tired, I'm simply not in that mode of worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, you say, get back into it. And the easiest way, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal, to get back into it is by dhikr and dua. If you have any difficulty now, say, Ya Allah, help me with it. Any pain, Ya Allah, help me with it. Not enough time, Ya Allah, help me with it. But just run towards Allah. Turn to Him. And you will see something that will astonish you. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that if you make dua, such a dua from your heart in this Ramadan, that Allah Azza wa Jal will show you something that will astonish you. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you if you turn to Him and you say, Ya Allah, I'm going through this. My heart is not with me. I don't have appetite for ibadah. I ask Allah that if you do this and if you ask Allah for it, that Allah Azza wa Jal will give you that appetite, that grace of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you simply have to do what? Want it. And you have to ask for it. So keep the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And keep, especially on a day like Friday like this, as-salah and as-salam upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And keep saying astaghfirullah. And also today as a Friday, the last hour of Friday. Always every Friday, but in Ramadan, special and special and special. There's an accepted dua. So when you pray your asr, before you break your fast, sit alone with Allah Azza wa Jal and tell Him everything that is going in your life and ask Him for everything that you want. And don't only ask about the dunya, ask also about the akhirah. May Allah Azza wa Jal arham ar-rahimeen, give us the best of this world and the best of the next. May Allah Azza wa Jal make this Ramadan the best Ramadan that we have encountered. May Allah enable us in this Ramadan to make plenty of dua, and we ask Him to accept that dua from us. May Allah allow us to remember Him often in this Ramadan and free us and our loved ones from hellfire. May Allah Azza wa Jal revive our hearts with Iman. Ya Allah, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen, our hearts are very distant from You. So we ask You that You bring our hearts back to You and revive them with the Iman. And that You'll do it, increase us in Your love and love of Your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask You, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make us of those who fast Ramadan, Iman and Wahtisaba, and accept that from us. And who pray at night, Iman and Wahtisaba, and accept that from us. And make us of those who win Laylatul Qadr, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and accept that from us. We ask You, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to forgive us all of our sins. Ya Allah, grant us a sincere repentance. Ya Allah, grant us a sincere tawbah from all sins, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, make us of those who die as Muslims, who are resurrected as Muslims and enter the Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts from all disease, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us generous with our time. Make us generous with our money. Make us generous with our bodies. Make us pleasing to You, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and make Your displeasure very distasteful to us. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام إيمانا واحتسابا وممن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا وممن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا اللهم ارزقنا الدعاء والاستغفار في رمضان اللهم أعتق فيه رقابنا ورقاب أهلينا من النار اللهم اجعلنا ممن غفر له في شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا ممن غفر له في شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا ممن غفر له في شهر رمضان اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم طهر لنا قلوبنا اللهم طهر لنا قلوبنا اللهم طهر لنا قلوبنا اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم جدد لنا إيماننا اللهم اجعلنا ممن يا رب ممن صدق بوعدك ولم يصدق بوعد الشيطان اللهم اجعلنا ممن صدق وعدك واتبع رسولك عليه الصلاة والسلام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة